Among Korean folk tales, there are many valuable but funny ones. Among them, I have two. Mend the barn after the horse is stolen. Mend, M-E-N-D, the barn after the horse is stolen. And the other one is a stitch or one stitch in time saves nine. These two tell us the prevention or preparation is better than cure or restoration. They tell us the result without following this wisdom or proverb would be great loss. Have you ever experienced this kind of story in your life? With not enough effort or preparation or prevention, have you lost many things in your life? But even though, you know, we prepare well enough and work hard, we cannot stop happening unexpected things in our life. Yes, we know it is unfair because someone would not prepare well, but their life would look well. The other person prepare well, but his or her life are bad. But in our life context, it's easy to see or experience that we cannot hide ourselves from the unexpected, miserable event. In other words, this is theory, but at the same time, it's our life reality. We remember a story about late Mr. Ino Oh, one of our former church members, who went out to send a letter to Korea and met a gang-like people, hit by them and passed away in 1958. Without wrongdoing, this godly man went to his resting place. This is a very sad and hard story, but it was true. So likewise, our life, sometimes preparation prepare our ways to go well, but it does it always in the way. What if the spiritual matter in our life? Today's text tells us a spirit possessed or unclean spirit possessed man, and the relationship between unclean spirit and one man possessed by that spirit. This story tells us very, very similar structure. In the story, we can see a man, unnamed man, doesn't have any authority or power over the demon or the spirit. And the spirit, however, has the power of the man. With this story, we will see one desperate situation of our all human beings before God. So with this text, I want to dig out more valuable implication, not only the visible things, but also invisible things. I believe this message is very powerful message for all of us to encourage us. You know, we don't know what situation we have, but in what situation we have, you know, this story or message would be the way to go or way to rely on, I believe. With that expectation, I want to get into the text. If you look at verse 24, we have some information of the story. One is the unclean spirit has gone out of a person. Two characters, one is the spirit, the other one is person. Normally, some pastors or believers misunderstood this text like this. This unclean spirit was expelled or exorcised by one or other, you know, exorcist or Jesus. No, this parable doesn't give us any information like that. The spirit has gone out of a person with his own decision. He just came out without any force. But the person, there is a person there, but there is no reaction to that. That's very important. No reaction. Just spirit was there and came out. And he passed through waterless places, seeking rest. In first century Christians, or their life context, they believe the waterless places, or desert or wilderness, are the places for demon or Satan. Based on some other biblical texts like Isaiah 44:3, it says that even though God's people are in the wilderness, God will water. So the land or place will be changed into God's place. So wilderness means, desert means the place of demon. That's normal mind, you know, the first century people there. So Jesus used that term or meaning here, just, you know, borrow it, not believe that. So he passed through waterless places seeking rest, but said, finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Think about that. He said, the person is my house. The person is my house. The person would not give any permission. I am yours, or I am your house. Rather, the spirit just proclaim or express, that is my house. That person is my house. I possess them, possess him. He is my possession. Like that kind of logic, this spirit shows us. Very important. Still, we don't have any reaction from this man. Like, no, I'm not. No reaction like that. Say, or the spirit just, I will return to my house from which I came. And he decided to come back to his house, the man. What happened to the man? 25 gave us some information. He find the house swept and put in order. In other words, the house was changed. When he went out, the spirit went out, he used that space for his own purpose. But it was changed because that means his mentality is getting better or in order. So, his reaction, the last verse. Then he goes and brings 7 other spirits, more evil than itself. And they entered and dwell there. Normally in the Bible, the number 7 represents a couple of things. Perfect, or fullness, and best. Perfect, fullness, and best. I think here the 7 means both, or these 3 things. We don't know. Really 3, actual 3 number of demons or spirits were there. We don't know. But anyway, 7 more, but more evil spirit he invited to dwell in that person. Miserable. More miserable. Actually, the term dwell here is not just for Satan, but also for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That term is used for describing the Christian healthy condition with the Holy Spirit. The Bible writers use that term. And here, even the evil spirit or unclean spirit dwells in the person, with the same word the writer of Luke expressed. It tells us one important implication. Human beings are not spirit-free beings. We may remember in Genesis 1-3, when God made or created human beings, he formed human being with dust, and he made him alive with breath. So we call it spirit. So only human beings are spiritual beings. You know, how about animals? If you look at chapter 2, of Genesis, you see he just formed it and he became living creatures. No breath of God. That's a total difference between animals and human beings. We are not animal. We are human beings. That shows us, from the beginning of human life, we have the relation between spirit and the body. That formulation continues to show us, you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament, continually, what? Sometimes, Spirit of God could control us before the sin of Adam. But we know, after the sin, God was not with the person or people were not qualified to be God's people. Because they sinned against God, and in God's sight, they were dead. In other words, if I say directly, more technically, people under sin, they were with the Satan only. No other choice. That's why Jesus mentioned in verse 23, previous text, you need to choose between the two, Jesus or Satan, like that. Continue to reveal that fact through Jesus Christ. So we could see these two ways are put in front of us. We need to choose between the two, not the gray area again. And also, the text said, you know, in that the spiritual relationship between, you know, spirit and person or body, we may look further like this. The last state of that person is worse than the first. So this parable is very, very hard to understand. If we try to understand only with this parable, very hard. That's why we need to understand the whole context of chapter 11 in order to this parable. Why Jesus put this parable here? You know, the context tells us Jesus expelled the demon or the evil spirit by his own power, not by the help of the Satan. At the same time, Jesus said, if then I am the most powerful being, or I would say I am the stronger one than the Satan, it implies I am the permanent strong man, strong being, and Satan is not anymore. And also, Jesus, and based on the fact Jesus put this parable, that we may understand in this way, how about we don't have Christ Jesus? How about we, if we do not choose Christ Jesus as a spirit who is dwelling in us? This parable tells that. This is that. If not, we have no hope. The result is worse than first. That is the meaning of this parable. In other words, without Christ, we have no hope. Even though man tries to, you know, make an effort to put himself in order, there is no better situation, better result by his own effort. On the one sense, this parable tells us the specific one person's situation, but at the same time, it shows us the old man outside Christ. Outside Christ, all men, all human beings are living in this way. They try to do their best to overcome the spiritual evil spirit or any kind of evil things around them. And sometimes they argue, I am able to save my life by my effort, by my power and wisdom. Those kind of things are, we may put in this parable, I believe. So this parable is sort of a miserable itself story. With this text, we can have one important implication. If this parable tells us the miserable states of human beings without Christ, then how about with Christ? We can get that implication from this text, I believe. You know, as I said before, Adam sinned against God. In God's sight, there was no righteous man before God. But as we know, Jesus came and he died on the cross. He was resurrected from the dead. Why? In order to conform the salvific plan for his people. He did that. He finished that. And also, we may refer some other biblical texts like Romans 8:2 or 2 Corinthians 1:21-22 and 1 John 4:13. Those kind of texts tells us Jesus saved our life through his death and resurrection. That's not all. The Spirit of Christ is came upon us. And Jesus went up to heaven. But the Spirit of Christ came down to us, down to his people, and dwells in them forever. This text shows us that kind of amazing truth. What I want to say is, you know, this parable shows us, in other words, our past state before we met Christ Jesus our Lord. So if that is that, then the implication of this parable is this. How about our life after meeting Jesus Christ? This text, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 John said, and other biblical texts support, in Christ Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. The evil spirit power cannot harm us, cannot touch us even. That is our new status. So Jesus wanted to, with this parable, tell us, this is your status without me. This is you. This is not his story. This is your story. Do you know? This is your story. But if you choose the one stronger, it's me, then your life, from now on, you don't have any worry. You don't have to have any worry whether or not the unclean spirit come into me again, and attack me again. No. Jesus wants to tell. So I want to read through one specific text. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. This text shows us sort of a historical line or redemptive history for us. From our fall to our salvation in Christ Jesus. So by reading that text together, I'm going to close this preaching. It's Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. Let's read it together. This page is for me, and this page is for you. Next page is for us. Okay? For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of our works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of the generation and the renewal of the Holy Spirit together, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. Amen. This is a story that I want to tell you based on this text. This text shows us we are nothing. We have no hope. But with Jesus Christ, we have totally different, cannot compare the life in heaven. What matters do you have nowadays? Passing by? Every day we have new issues. But I want to encourage you with this message like this. Even though we have many issues in our life, new issues every day, every moment, How about this world? How about your salvation in Christ? Perfectly confirmed. Do you really enjoy that fact in your life? Or still struggling with many other issues and complain, God, every day? This invaluable fact that Jesus has done for us, Christ Jesus, is ours. If we have faith in Christ. And with that faith, I want to encourage you, you know, let us overcome those kind of difficult things in front of, behind, around us, and ask Him and rely on Him. And we will experience, even though sometimes we cannot prepare well, by His grace, we can overcome the things, you know, put in our life forward. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the wonderful story you have done for us in Christ Jesus. This parable tells us and shows us the reality of human beings under the sin, under your wrath. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross, saved our life from the death and sin, which is representing this parable. Father, also we want to thank you, and also we want to rely on more in our life, even though sometimes the issues are big, so we cannot overcome. But we ask you to give us your encouragement and your love and grace more, so that we are able to overcome those kind of things in faith, in Jesus Christ. And Father, encourage us again. And let us enjoy this wonderful fact that you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. We prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.